Good Shepherd Mass Choir. Amen. They still got it together, y'all. Still do it right. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, thank you for the songs of Zion. Lord, thank you for the music that touches our hearts and focuses our minds on the things of God. Lord, I just pray as we come together tonight, right now, to expound on your word, Lord. Let every ear be eager to hear. Let every heart be eager to receive. And Lord, let your Holy Spirit just reign and draw men unto you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. It is so good. I just love it when God just speaks so clear and he says, let's just get things going in a new direction. Today is the start of a new day. We're gonna there's many here who believe God. You believe that God is able to do X, Y, Z. You believe that, amen? You believe that. But do you really believe that God is able to do the impossible? See what I mean? Do you really believe that? See, because we give God a nod and a wink, and we say, well, you know, yeah, he can do this, but oh, this one over here is just too tough. Now, my heart's desire is to challenge myself and everybody else here at Good Shepherd. If you don't already, or wherever you're at right now in your faith walk, to challenge, to get to the point to where we honestly, truly, without reservation, believe God to do what we know to be impossible. That's what we're going to talk about today. Title of our message, Believing God for the Impossible. We'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 37. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 37. And in the King James Bible, it reads, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Verse 35, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Verse 37, our key verse. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're going to talk about believing God for the impossible. Believing God for the impossible. I'm going to key in on verse 37. Because when you read that verse, and that's the kind of stuff that just messes us up as Christians. Because we, even though we see God move in very miraculous ways, and even in our own lives and other lives, we still have that reservation, that hesitation when it comes to certain things in our lives and in the lives of others. We just say, I believe God can, but I'm just not really sure he can. But I want you to, when you look at verse 37, our key verse, it says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now think about this. Just think about this. In Genesis, the Lord was saying to Abram and Sarah and the angels, he was to the men, he was saying, is there anything too hard for God? Now that was the Lord speaking. But this is not the Lord speaking. This is the angel Gabriel speaking. Now that's different, see, because when it's like when you say, well, I'm the world's greatest basketball player. If nobody else agrees with you, then you probably are not the world's greatest basketball player. I could tell y'all, I could go on for hours telling you guys how fantastic I was at football in high school, and man, I state championships and rings and this, that, and the other, and yada, yada, yada. But you'll have a hard time finding any of my classmates who could corroborate that. But here, first we see where the Lord said, is there anything too hard for God? And here we see where an angel who stands in the very presence of God says, with God, there's nothing. With God, nothing shall be impossible. When I see Gabriel say that, it reminds me of that farmer's insurance commercial where the guy says, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Gabriel is saying to the whole world, y'all got to understand, I've been around a long time. I've been around a long time, and I've watched God in action. I watched God as he worked his hands in creation. I watched God in the garden. I watched God as he pulled Israel, as he called Abraham out of the land of Ur. I watched God as he moved Israel through Egypt. I watched God as he parted the Red Sea. I watched God as he made the sun stand still. He says, you got to understand when I tell you that nothing is impossible with God. I can say that. I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. Now, my question for you is, saints of God, the folks who are here today, saints of God, can you honestly say you know a thing or two about God because you've seen him work in your life? Can you honestly say that? Can you say, I've seen God do things that people said couldn't happen? Said couldn't happen. And I watched God do it. Because once you get to the point to where you're relying on God, and don't wait, please, don't wait till you're on your sick bed. Now, when you're on your sick bed, I can guarantee you, you're going to call on him. I got experience with that, amen. But I'm saying before you get to your sick bed, will you glorify God with the praise of your lips? Will you give him the credit due? That's all Gabriel's doing. Credit, Gabriel's saying, you know, I've watched him. He said, I've watched him. There's nothing. That is impossible for God. There's been a few things through history that mankind have looked at as absolutely positively can't happen. Absolutely positive. It's hard for us to look back and fathom. It's really hard. I'll take it all the way back here. For people to fathom that there would ever be such a thing as a carriage without a horse. A horseless carriage, a car, if you will. Well, since most of us can't go back there, maybe a few of y'all can come back with me to the day to when we drove cars when turn signals were an optional equipment. To where you had to roll the window down. Now, you didn't have a button to push for the window. You had to roll the window down, and then you put your arm, y'all help me out, put your arm down, left turn, right turn, slow down.
And now you get in your car, and your car say to you, buckle up. Tell me, where's your destination? Would you like some heat? This was considered impossible in our lifetime. In our lifetime. People, everybody had a fireplace and they had lamps and torches. Nobody, just a short period of time ago, could conceive of a light bulb. A light bulb. Light without fire? We thought that was impossible, but it has come to pass. We now, those of us who have named Jesus as our Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you something that the world, even many today, tell you is impossible. The assurance of salvation. To know that you know that you know that when you close your eyes for the last time, you will be, not you might be, not you hope you will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. That is considered by most people on the planet impossible, arrogance, and ignorance. What did Gabriel say? Gabriel said, with God. Now, I can't tell you about the assurance that I have in my own work and in my own faith. I can't tell you about that, but I can tell you with God. I can tell you with God. And because of his son, Jesus Christ, when I close my eyes for the last time, I know. I'm not guessing. I'm not wishing. When I open my eyes, I will be absent from this old tabernacle, because this old tabernacle is dissolving, y'all. Woke up this morning with a brand new pain in my left knee. This old tabernacle is falling apart. Still got most of my teeth, but it's gone. None of my hair, it's gone. But I guarantee you, when Will closes his eyes for the last time, don't cry for me. Shout for me, because I will be. I absolutely, positively got to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's based on the word of God. That's not my opinion, because I believe God for the impossible. I believe that he can take this old raggedy body and he can take me, and in the twinkling of an eye, I'll be from here to glory. That's what we want to get to, that point for all of us. We need to know that with God, there's nothing impossible with God. Because y'all, everybody out here has got some tough stuff going on in their lives. Some stuff that we don't want anybody to know. And don't anybody know but God. Nobody knows but God, but I want you to know, based on the word of God, that's enough. That's enough. Because he says, when you turn it over to me, whatever that deep, dark, secret sin, whatever it was, he said, don't you know, when you confess it to me, don't you know I'll take that and I'll cast it as far as the east is from the west? And not only will I do that, I'm just and faithful, and I'll clean you up. Though your sins be like scarlet, he said, I'll make you white as snow. I believe that because it's written. I believe it because I know a thing or two, because I done seen a thing or two. I've watched God do things in my life, my family's life, my friend's life, my corporate life, my nation. Stuff, man, this nation is so God-blessed. It is so God blessed. It's a shame that anybody complained about anything here. But you know what? I believe God so much that he'll take the people who complain and make them shout. I believe it. Because guess what? It wasn't that long ago when I was complaining. How many old no good country? Treat folks bad. Yeah, I'm gonna tune in, turn on, and drop out. Yeah. And then something changed. God got a hold to me, y'all. And he said, I want you. He said, boy, I want you. I want you. I know you saved, and I was saved. He said, I want you to start not just believing me for ultimately going to heaven. I want you to start believing me for everyday life. Amen. See, that's the challenge, church. That's the challenge for every person who names the name of God. Can you believe me for today? Not skip tomorrow. You know you're going to heaven if you believe that Jesus came, he died, rose from the dead. But can you trust him today? Can you believe him today when your child is wayward? And he says, just put it on me. He said, you can't handle it. He said, because you will lose your mind. Just, oh, thank you, Lord. Just like your mom and daddy about lost their mind over you and me. Crazy as we want to be. And look at us on December 17th, 2017, sitting up in church. Amen. Praise God. Don't tell, anything is possible for God. Amen. It's all possible to God. He said, when we look at this text, and we're going to hit this text, and I just want you to see the depth and the richness and the beauty of what God is doing here. You read about Christmas cards and greeting cards, and you know, and each one opens up with, hi, hello, Merry Christmas, bless you, happy, 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 happy. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But guess what? I think they stole the idea from God. Because look what God does here with Gabriel. When this angelic announcement comes here between verses 26 through 31, when this angelic message comes to Mary, and he says, and in the sixth month, verse 26, chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city, unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. We're getting ready to see greetings from God. Greetings from God. He says, to the Virgin Mary, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, hail! That means, translated into English, howdy. Howdy, Mary. He says, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. What a greeting. What? Mary's sitting here minding her own business. And out of nowhere comes the angel Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And don't miss this part. Gabriel didn't just show up. God sent him. Church, brothers, sisters, just like God was concerned with Mary, he's concerned with you. I can prove it to you. Because he says, he sent the angel Gabriel to the city of Galilee into the city named Nazareth to a virgin. God sent him to Mary. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I want you to know that the term here where it says highly favored, in verse 28 where it says, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. There's only one other place in the New Testament where that word is used, where he says highly favored. In Ephesians 6, 1:13, it says, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. Oh, excuse me, my bad. I went over to the wrong one. Ephesians 1, 6, I gave you 1:14. To the praise of the glory of his grace,
wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That word accepted in verse 6, that's the same word as highly favored. Now, here's what it means. Here's what it means. It means that God has, it's not that you have grace. It means that God has given you grace. That's the only two places that that word is used in the New Testament. So when you look at what he says, Mary, you've been blessed. You're highly favored. He's saying to you, Nancy, you've been blessed. You've been highly favored. Brother Mike, you've been blessed. You've been accepted. You have been given grace. Wait a minute. But what did I do to deserve it? You showed up. And God gave you. Just like he did. Now, Mary's a special lady. She is highly favored of women. But she needed a savior too, just like you and me. But God said, not because of what you've done. And when I told you I have assurance of my salvation, I don't have assurance of my salvation because of who I am. I have assurance of my salvation because of who he is. And he says to me in Ephesians 6 and 1 and 7, he says, I have accepted you. Why? Why would you accept me? Because of a song that everybody in here knows. Because of amazing grace. What did I do to deserve it? He says, look what he says here in Ephesians. He goes, in whom we have redemption. Not going to have redemption. See, that's why I tell people, don't be saying, I hope I go to heaven. He says, I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I'm not going to get the forgiveness of sins. I got the forgiveness of sins. According through his blood, according to the riches of his grace. Oh, my goodness. We have redemption. We are highly favored. Wait, before you move on, before you leave that particular passage, you believe you're saved? You believe you got redemption? You believe that when you close your eyes for the last time, you're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord? Because you have believed, you have said yes to the Lord. You said, I believe that Jesus came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for my sins. You said that? You believe that? Now do you understand, is there anything too hard for God? I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. Y'all saved. Y'all ain't going to be saved. You are saved. Now the challenge for us to live up to it. Now the challenge is not only for, how do we live up to it? By telling other folk about his goodness. You can't tell folks about God's goodness and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you if you don't even know you're going to heaven. What you going to tell them? Yeah, God is good. Oh, Jesus loves me. Oh, we got the best worship. We got the best church. We do all this. Well, are you going to heaven? I don't know. That sounds silly. But if you knew and if you understood that with God, all things are possible, you'd know that when he put his shine, his light of grace on you, you'd know that when he said, you're forgiven, you'd know you're forgiven. But Lord, I know I got some stuff in me. It's not based on who you are. It's based on who he is. That's it. And if you believe that scripture is true, that you have that through the redemption of his blood, then you can understand when you're talking to that cousin, when you're talking to that sister, that nephew, that brother, that when you're talking to that family member that's caught up in all kinds of stuff, you won't lose heart. You won't lose heart. The only reason we get weak and feeble and lose heart is because we just don't believe God enough. But understand, God has sent his greetings to
the Virgin Mary, and he says, Mary, you're highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Thou art blessed among women. Verse 29. And when she saw him, when she saw Gabriel, the Bible says she was troubled at what he was saying. And we would be, because you're sitting there. I mean, here I am minding my own business. All of a sudden you come along and tell me that I have a particular faith. God has picked me out of all the young girls in the history of the world. And God has picked me to do his work. That should boggle your mind as much as you getting a bookmark in your hand and walking into the grocery store and God saying to you, go talk to that woman. Go talk to that man. Wait, God, you picked me? You picked me to be a witness for you? Lord, can't I just be a bench riding Christian? Lord, I give my money. I give my money. I show up. But you mean you actually... You're actually challenging me, Lord, to see. Mary was not asked to be a spectator. Mary was challenged and asked to be a participant in God's program. What's that old story? The pig and the chicken walking down the street, they saw ham and eggs, breakfast, Christmas breakfast. Chicken said, hey, great. Pig said, easy for you to say. You're just contributing. I'm the main dish. See, that's what we want as Christians. We just want to contribute. We don't want to be challenged to be the one who has to step up and stand out and speak the word of God. But he says, he says here in verse 29, he says, Mary was troubled at his saying, and it cast in her mind, what manner of salutation is this? When it says cast in her mind, that means she had to start calculating, y'all. She had to start thinking, because it's not every day that an angel shows up in your living room and says to you, hi, hi. God has called you out. God has called you out for his work. But you know what? Anybody in here who has named the name of God, you have named Christ as your Lord and Savior, everybody in here, hi, hi, you are highly favored, you have been accepted, you have been given grace, and I have need of you. I have need of you. And so she had to kind of think this thing through. She's deliberating, and she's reckoning it through. And in verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Mary, 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 fear not. For thou hast found favor with God. That means you got, God has given you grace, baby. You have the grace of God. You have the grace of God. And behold, Mary, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. In Genesis 3:15, God says, he says, the seed of a woman is going to have a child. In Isaiah 7:14, he says, a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a child. Church, that's impossible. Virgins don't have babies. Women don't have seed. Men have seed. Women have eggs. But the Bible says, she shall conceive. He didn't say they shall conceive, her and Joseph. He said she shall conceive. And he said it first in Genesis, then he says in Isaiah 7:14. He says the same thing over and over and over again. And some people in the church still don't get it, that it was a virgin. It was an impossible, a thing that is humanly impossible. But with God, there's nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. So God is showing us, he's setting the precedent so that when he's telling you and he's telling me, there's nothing impossible, there's nothing, anything and everything. He said, just ask, just ask. And so we have here where we know that Mary is a virgin. The word that's used for virgin in the New Testament can only mean a woman who has never been with a man. It can only mean that. And then, but here in verse 31, he says, and you shall call his name, you're going to have a son. Oh, I like that part. You're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. How you know you're going to have a son? We didn't even have paternity test Tuesday. How you going to know you need a son? You're going to have a son. Because God said, you're going to have a son. And God said, you're going to name him Jesus. Now, don't miss this. The Bible says by a witness of 2 to 3 is something established as truth. Amen? 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 What did the angel say to Joseph? He said, Joseph, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. Jehovah saves. And then he says to Mary, Mary, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus, because Jehovah saves. So you got Joseph knows he's Jesus. Mary knows his name is Jesus. The angel knows his name is Jesus. By a witness of 2 to 3 is a thing established as truth. And we know. See, Moses and Mary and Joseph needed that, y'all. They needed that. How you going to explain to your husband you're getting ready to have a baby and you ain't been with him? God got to be in here somewhere. Because this is impossible. But look at the conversation at the dinner table. Joseph said, Mary, Angel Gabriel came and told me that you're going to have a son. And his name's going to be Jesus. And Mary said, I was fitting to tell you. But guess what happened to me the other day? God sent an angel to me named Gabriel, and he said, I'm going to have a son, and his name is going to be Jesus. Now, if I'm Joseph, I'm feeling a whole lot better. Because now I know God is in the mix, and I know that when God is in the mix, I may not understand it. I may not follow it, but I know it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Name him Jehovah is salvation, for he shall save his people. Amen. Between verses 32 and 33, I'm going to give you what I call the fantastic five credentials. The fantastic five credentials. Because, again, when this is all new to Mary, and the angel is giving her all this information, and she's taking, this is why her mind is troubled, because she's taking in all this information, trying to understand, how do I follow this? How do I make sense out of this? And he goes, understand, in verse 32, fantastic five, understand, this child, when he's born, he's going to be great. He's going to be something else. He's going to be something like the world had never seen before. Well, I thought he said the same thing about John the Baptist. No, he said John the Baptist is going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He said Jesus is going to be great without reservation. Jesus is going to be great over all without reservation. He's unlike anything. He's unlike anybody. He's unlike any situation you've ever seen. Jesus is going to be great above all. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. That term, highest, understand that term, highest, that's a comparative term. Why is that comparative? Because everybody thinks that their God is the best. Everybody thinks their God is the best, starting with the people who have the audacity to tell you, well, me and God got a thing worked out together. See, because in their mind, they really are God. Okay, and they think that their cerebral ability has gotten everything figured out. And they say, so the Buddhists say, our God is great. The Hindus say, our God is great. I met a Mormon lady the other day. She said, oh, God is great. Well, I want you to understand, baby, in order to have the name of Jesus, the Son of God, in order to have that name, you have to be the son of the highest. There's no contenders. There's only pretenders. There's no contender for who is the highest God. How do I know he's the highest God? Because he created the heavens and the earth. He spun the sun into the sky. He created man. He is the highest God. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. The throne of his father David. In verse 33, follow me on this real good. and he shall reign over the house of Jacob. What's the difference between reign and sovereign? When you see here in the scripture, because all these things, Mary's not going to see all these things. All these things are prophetic. All these things are prophetic. But he says he shall reign over the house of Jacob. Do you wonder why the world is in such chaos today? Because God is not reigning. Who? What did you say, preacher? God is not reigning. God is sovereign. God is over everything. But here's what's so special about this child that's going to be named Jesus. He says he's going to reign. That means he's going to take hands-on operational situation. He's going to do more than Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones run the Cowboys from one end to the other. Jesus, the Son of God, is going to rule and reign with a fist of iron. See, when Jesus comes back, ain't going to be no foolish talking. When Jesus comes back, ain't going to be no foolish acting, because it will be immediately dealt with. Because that's not here right now, y'all. Right now, he is sovereign. He's the highest authority over everything, but he's not hitting people over the head day in and day out. But he's speaking to his folks. He's speaking to his folks. And he's saying to his folks, those of us who name the name of Christ, he's speaking to us. And he says, don't sell me cheap. Don't ever think that I'm not able to do whatever I say I'm able to do. And he says, for those of us here, he said, we have not because we ask not. And he says, when we ask all too often, we ask amiss. So church, I want to encourage you. Go to the Lord. Ask him for something hard. Ask him for something what we call impossible. But when you do it, the Bible says, expect it. Go to him without wavering. Don't be a double-minded man. Well, I think he can. Well, I'm not sure he can. I think he can. I think he can. He says, go to him without wavering. I'm asking God, fill this church, Lord. Fill it with your glory, Lord. Bring in those from the highways and byways. We plant the seed, Lord. We sow the seed. But you got to fill the pews, Lord. I'm asking him and I'm expecting him to do what he does. And he says in verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And you will see that this portion of this text is the fulfillment of prophecy. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Daniel says, when Daniel was serving Belshazzar, he says, I saw the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting, everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. He says, Gabriel is saying to Mary, Mary, let me give you one of these fantastic five for this child. There shall be no end of his kingdom. He's going to be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. And all these things will be achieved, because there's nothing too hard for God. With God, nothing is impossible with God. Last portion. Let's talk about the impossible made possible. We talked about the greetings from God. Talked about the Fantastic Five. Now let's talk about the impossible made possible. Verses 34 through 37. The impossible made possible. Why do we dwell on these things? Because our faith needs to be enhanced. Our faith needs to be encouraged. Our faith needs to be strengthened. And our faith needs to be tested. We need to get to the point to where we want to say, Lord, I saw you do something phenomenal yesterday, but Lord, can you top that today? Ask him. Ask him. Lord, I got a health issue. Lord, I'm getting a bad report, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, Lord, I know you did it for me 5 years ago. I know you brought me through 5 years ago. But Lord, can you do it one more time? Will you do it one more time? And see, what you see here in verses 34 through 37, Mary, it says, then, verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Again, she's expressing the fact that she's a virgin. Why that's still so hard for people to understand. She's a virgin. Well, that's impossible for a virgin to have a baby without a, but with God, there's nothing impossible with God. But you have people in the church. It doesn't mean that. It means she said, out of her own mouth, I've never been with a man. Now, unless you can find me a text that says Mary is a bald-faced liar, I'm going to roll with this. She's a virgin. And God is powerful and mighty. And she's saying, how shall this be? And see, now, when you see in the Old Testament, when Sarah overheard the angel of the Lord speaking to the angels, and he said that I'm going to come back in a year, Sarah's going to have a baby. Now, you got to understand, Sarah was about 100, and Sarah was 90 years old. And the Bible says Sarah laughed. what do you mean I'm going to have a baby? Come on, man. And the Lord said, why'd you laugh? Because she doubted. But look, Mary didn't doubt. All Mary said, well, okay, how's this going to happen? I'm not doubting you, God. See, that's how we got to get to the point. When God says, do this or do that, when God says, go talk to this person, when God says, live this kind of life, when God says, don't retaliate verbally when somebody has just really set you off, when God says, don't do that, okay, Lord, how's this going to happen? Because I want to give him a piece of my mind. How's this going to happen, Lord? Understand that when we submit ourselves to God's authority, all things are possible. Even people who started practicing cussing like sailors at fourth grade. I got in trouble in fourth grade. Fourth grade. I come from a godly house. Mama and daddy, good church, good preacher. But when I got out with the other kids, you know, I want to be, I wasn't but that big. Okay. And so I said something bad to some girl. We don't need details. I said something bad to her. I had practiced it too. I practiced it. And we were on the bus together. And I did not know she was going to rat me out. That was all kinds of wrong. And then, you know, just think of how bad this is, how humiliating this is. You're sitting here, and you said it clear enough for everybody to hear it, and the teacher is saying, Mr. Milbury, what did you say? I didn't know that God could take somebody like that, and years later, direct their path, first correct their path, stop them from lying, stop them from cussing, stop them from just being evil, still a work in progress. But God, see, I can stand here and I can tell y'all, I know a thing or two because I done seen a thing or two. I know God, and I know He can heal you. I've been sick. I've been where I got the report from the doctor where he shook his head. I've been there. I've been for a ride in that little red wagon with the lights on it. I've been there. But God, through nothing of mine but God, and I want to tell the world, and I especially want to let y'all know, but God, stop selling Him short, church. But God, there's nothing impossible for God. Nothing. He can taste the most rank, no good, low down, dirty sinner and turn him into a good husband. He could take children who just all kinds of crazy and bring them back under the umbrella of his grace. But he's saying to you and me, you're highly favored. You have been accepted. You have redemption. You have the good news. Now go tell somebody. Take it out to the world and let the world know there's nothing impossible for God. Nothing. Nothing. Mary said, how's this going to work? How's this going to happen? I've never known a man. And then he says three things. You get to see the, you get to watch the Holy Trinity right here. You get to watch the Holy Trinity right here in this verse 35. Verse 35. You get to watch the whole Godhead. He goes, and the angel answered. I'm in verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. That's one. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That's two. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's three. But give me a minute here. Give me a minute here, because I'm sitting here, I'm looking at this. When he says in verse 35, he says that the power of the highest. He didn't say the highest. He said just the power of the. Let me give you in Acts chapter 5, verse 15. Y'all, I'm just going to tell you what goes on there. In Acts chapter 5, verse 15, when you want to know about the power of the Most High, it says that Peter was walking around preaching and teaching, and folks was getting healed, and folks was getting saved. How does he word it? He says, "And the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." That means that, you know how you're standing and minding your own business. You're standing up there at the Whataburger, and all of a sudden you turn around. There's somebody standing right beside you. Said the Holy Ghost. Going to come along beside you. And then the power of the highest. Peter, it said when Peter walked past people, he had so much Jesus in him, folks got healed from his shadow. He didn't even touch them. He just walked by. When he says that the power of the highest shall overshadow you, they said the shadow of Peter was so much Jesus in the power and the shadow of Peter that folks got healed. And don't you know, he says to Mary, I ain't gotta touch you, I just gotta come beside you, and next thing you know, that thing that's formed inside of you, that holy thing, that's that body that's being given to you, you're gonna call him the Son of God. Ooh, is there anything too hard for God? You're just gonna come alongside of her, and see, that's why I've got to stop selling God short. You got to stop selling God short, because if his shadow got that much, he got that much Jesus in his shadow. Don't you understand? Peter's no greater a man than you and I. Don't you know that? None of the apostles, no greater than you and I as far as the power of God. It's just that they believed God, because they said, y'all don't understand. We walked with Jesus for 3 years, and we know a thing or two because we done seen a thing or two. Have you seen anything in your life? Have you seen a friend delivered? Have you seen a loved one brought back from the brink? Have you seen somebody's life totally changed from being absolutely hell-bound and hell-bent against God, and God steps in, bam, and turns them around? If you haven't seen it, keep praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, and trust God, because with God, nothing is impossible with God. You look at it, you say, man, this is a lost cause. This is over. This is absolutely positively over. Can't happen. Trust God. Trust God. He says, he He gave you all three. He gave you the Holy Ghost. He gave you the power of the highest. And he says, and that also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And in verse 36, Gabriel says to Mary, he said, oh, Mary, behold, Mary. I know that you're already on track, but I'm going to give you a sign, Mary. I'm going to give you something tangible. I'm going to give you something to take home, Mary. You know that cousin of yours, Elizabeth, that old woman. You know the one who they called barren? Why did they call her barren? Because after 60 plus years and you ain't had a baby, you must be barren. That's why they call her barren. And Gabriel said, I just want you to know, just so you know I ain't fooling with you, just so you know that I give you something to take home with you, just so you'll know, she's about 6 months with child. She's about 6 months with child. Why don't you go check her out? Go on down the road. Go down a piece and go check her out. And remember, man called her barren. Man called that boy no good. Man called that girl a floozy, a hussy, a nothing, a no good. People said that boy is dumber than a stump. They called him that. They called her that. They called you that. But I want you to know, if you call on the name, if you call, oh, I like that. If you call on the name of the Lord, if you don't know him in the pardon of your sins, you shall be saved. And you will be able to look in the mirror and you'll be able to say to yourself, I have been highly favored and accepted by God. I am on my way into the kingdom of God. Let me see what I can do to do some work in the kingdom of God. He says, Mary, behold, Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, because there's nothing impossible for God. There's nothing impossible for God. And in verse 37, we wrap it all up. Gabriel says it, and he's saying, Mary, I know you have reservations. I know you're just kind of wondering, you know, how this is going to be something big. This is going to be something big. He said, but Mary, when you go see Elizabeth, I want you to set your mind at ease and understand there's nothing, absolutely nothing too hard for God. I'm going to give you something that's really, really what people say is impossible. The Bible says everybody here, all of us like sheep. All of us. No, there's not none, not one. Not one is righteous. Not one. Yeah, but Lord, I ain't that bad. Not one. You think you're okay. You think you got to deal with God. But the Bible says all have gone astray. None is righteous. And Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 34:7, he said, Lord, he said, can these bones live? Lord, this is barren, God. The folks have left in mass, dear Heavenly Father. He said, Lord, can these bones live? And Jesus said, all gone astray like sheep. How can we get them back together? How is God going to be able to make a statement that when he says, I wish that none should perish? How in the world is he going to get the Muslims, the Black Power, the KKK, the Hindu, the Catholics, the backslidden Baptists? You got to put them in there too. How in the world is he going to get all of those people? Because the gospel says this is the gospel of the salvation of all men, not just folks in America. This is all men. How's he going to pull that off? Bible says God has a plan. Because with God, it's nothing impossible. The Bible says, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw. Not some, not just a few, not just the ones in America, not just the ones in Africa, not just the ones in Russia. I'll draw all men unto me. Do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? Then he says, for you and for I, let's get up, let's get out, and we got to lift him up. We got to lift up Jesus. We got to tell folks that Jesus came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for their sins, and let them know that they aren't highly favored and that they have a home in heaven. They have a home waiting for them in heaven. If they believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for their sins, let them know that they got a home. And let them know that the only reason it's there and the only reason it's valid, because with God, nothing is impossible. God bless you.